And welcome to Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or planetaudio.org.nz. Kick Arts. I'm Richard Green, your host for the next 90 minutes, along with my co-host Georgia Parker. Welcome, Georgia. And I'll say this is the first show we've done in 2018 together.
I know. Have you missed me? I've missed you.
Oh, my God. It's been terrible. I come into the studio. You're never here.
We could have just done a 90-minute Georgia and Richard catch-up.
We could have. We could have caught up about the family, what you've been doing over the summer. Did you have a good holiday? All those sorts of things. Well, I think it might get a bit boring after a while, really.
It's a busy time of year. It's an exciting time of year for the arts, and I'm particularly excited to be back because, well, last week I wasn't here because I was working Laneway, which is the highlight of my whole year, every year. And then whether I go as a... Well, obviously doing Kick Arts, the standard is pretty high.
Oh, right,
so that's how good it is. And now we have Fringe coming up and then the Comedy Fest. I'm like...
And Auckland Arts Festival.
I'm totally frothing. I've been doing this boring day job where I literally sit at a desk and pick up the phone occasionally when it rings. So I've had plenty of time to look up all of the exciting things coming up. And
aren't you supposed to be working though? If you've got a job... Hang on.
No,
you've got a job at a desk... And you're looking up Fringe.
I'm just doing it for a couple of weeks. I've got no work to do. So it's better that I have something. I'm like doing pretend
work. Do you think that you should be saying that on air?
Yeah, they know.
They know?
Yeah, you're just teeping it.
You're just saying, like, really boring. I'm only here because actually I do other stuff which is far more interesting. Like the guests in our studio, of course.
Yes.
Yes. Shall I introduce them?
Do it.
Okay. Kia ora koutou, welcome. Mary Borick from Auckland Council. You are a community funding advisor for arts and culture, arts, community and events.
Kia ora, Richard. Kia ora, Georgia. I was just thinking, Georgia, that there are some other very exciting things happening that you might not have discovered. Some of these have been funded by the Creative Community Scheme, which I support to help communities get their ideas off the ground. And one is the very first Aotearoa Steel Band Festival, which is happening on the
get
Silo
out of town.
Quarter.
Oh, my gosh.
Silo Quarter. On the 24th of February, it's just 2 weeks away. You'll have to pack it into your other events.
Yeah. Oh, sounds well worth it.
And if you've never heard a steel band before, or the steel pan instrument, have you ever heard one?
Sort of like the Jamaican.
That's right, from Trinidad.
Yeah.
So I was very lucky to hear one many, many, many years ago, and it's the sound of sunshine. And they've got bands coming down, one from Ruakaka, and the teacher there who's teaching them said, you can only be happy if you're playing one of these steel pan instruments. So this is the first concert, the first festival ever in New Zealand. It's been organised by Caribbeans, Southern Stars.
So what's it? It's called Steel?
Steel Band Festival. And it's going to start at 9:30 in the morning, build up over the day until they're going to have like an orchestra of steel bands, multiple instruments. To play the bass instrument, you've got to be really tall because these were made out of 55-gallon steel drums and they're tuned by hammering indentations into the drum. And so now they've got a full range of sounds from soprano to bass. They give them all sorts of different names like cello. And this is the first time we're going to hear them all coming together. It's going to be like a Mardi Gras atmosphere with food, fragrances. So we'll have to add that one to your list of activities. And it's free, suitable for all the family. And it's funded by the funding scheme that I'm here to share with the community.
That is so exciting. Man, I love the council. Can I say that? Sorry, I didn't mean to sound that like greasing. But, like, every interaction I have with the council, I just think, oh, we're so lucky. Like, we've just got so many amazing...
Well, at the moment, it's Music in Parks on, isn't it? So you get 30-something free concerts around. Is this steel band?
The movies in the park.
That's steel band.
That's steel band.
Yeah. Oh, you just want to dance straight away.
It's the sound of summer. Sound of summer. As opposed to the sound of silence, which is Simon and Garfunkel, which is quite different. We'll just keep that going in the background as I introduce John Burrows. Welcome, John.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Yeah, well, for me this time.
Yeah, So you're here to talk about something that you are...
Two things, really. I've got a show itself, which is on as part of the Auckland Fringe, which I love all the time. And as part of that, it's Borrowed Time, my new production company's... production company's debut production, and we're running our own sort of initiative, which is Why Reserve Tickets. We're hoping to be able to give 100 free tickets to students of the performing arts as part of the production.
Wow.
So that's running as a boosted campaign at the moment, and it's well in flux. And then today was the first rehearsal for the Fringe season itself. Frantic and all go and exciting.
That's pretty exciting. That's a really wonderful opportunity to give people. What made you decide to do that?
So I was a graduate at Unitech in the acting department, and then I very quickly sort of was whisked away and worked on a show in London, which was an immersive zombie show that started here. And then I stayed in London.
An immersive zombie show?
Exactly, yeah, it was Survive the Apocalypse. And I stayed because I've got the privilege of dual nationality. And the theatre culture of there is so much older than ours, and within sort of their companies there are some incredible accessibility initiatives. One that actually launched while I was there was called Young and Free by the Donmar Warehouse. And they recognised effectively how upper class and, I guess to put it bluntly, white their audience was becoming. And was like, how can we change this? Because all the people that we want to see our amazing and sort of breathtaking work are not able to afford to. And it's sort of this balance of art has a value and art is worth money and people should pay for it. It's beautiful. And a lot of work goes in by the people who make it. But that doesn't mean that everyone is able to afford that ticket price. So they asked their patrons before the tickets went on general sale to buy tickets full price on behalf of people under the age of 25. And they sold out half of an all-female Shakespeare trilogy. Half of the entire season was sold out with these free tickets by their patrons.
That's really cool. No, Tim Bray was doing that last season as well with the Christmas show.
He's been doing it
for
a few years now,
and that was very cool to give tickets to kids in low decile schools. And I just thought that was a really cool idea. Yeah.
That's right. It gets lots of people to experience theatre that they wouldn't otherwise experience.
That's a very good initiative. And also, we had this conversation on about... we had someone from New Zealand Opera on 2 years ago, and he's since moved on, but he said that, you know, struggling to get audiences in, to fill those audiences. And if you go along to the opera often, you'll see people who are a little older there, and the audience, the demographic is not young, and how do they get people in? And the year before, we'd had somebody in who was from overseas involved with opera, and they said that they give, for their rehearsals, their dress rehearsals and their previews, they offer the equivalent of basically a coin donation for people under the age of 25 to come along and see the opera, not at a performance but at a preview night, and that opens up the audience for other people to come and enjoy it and capture the audience right now. I mean, people like, you know, I'm not going to mention any brands, but George is drinking a famous drink in the studio and shouldn't be. And
Sippy cup.
She's got it in a sippy cup. And they capture people young by their advertising and by offering things that appeal, and it just takes the arts organisations to do the same thing.
I think the refreshed, like the Globe Theatre, has revitalised Shakespeare. And I remember going to see a Handel production, and Tralise Cooper had done the costume design, and the audience was young, much to my astonishment.
Because of Tralise Cooper?
I think because it was a totally different take and refreshing look at something from a past... several centuries ago.
Yeah.
I love how we can think about ways to provide spaces for alternative audiences, though. Like, I know that was something that I personally was interacting with a lot during last weekend, being a part of the Laneway team, that we've got a friends and family area where we can invite our friends and family who, you know, help the creators of the show and are a part of the show and support that to get away and out of the crowds. And then we also have women's space where women are welcome to go and charge their phones and have a drink of water and just kind of get away from the manic that is that day, and lots of different areas where you can experience the day that you're wanting to do that, whether that's you know, crazy dancing and like an absolute, you know, big squash crowd of people, or whether you want to be under the shade somewhere just enjoying something a little bit more relaxed. But you know that people, I think, do consider that, you know, the way that we can provide a space for a much larger audience.
Yeah. And a safe space. I mean, things have changed a little bit around concerts and festivals now, haven't they? So
I think things are changing more.
Where there is quiet space.
And we're also bringing things out into the open, so you don't have to go into a concert theatre to see something. You can just enjoy it anywhere.
Yeah.
There is a production in the Aotea Square, and it's, you might know what it is, I'm not sure. It's part of the summer, and it's a Shakespeare production that's been done by a couple of people in the middle of the square at lunchtime.
Cool.
As part of the Summer in the Square, I think it is. Right. I'll look up to that shortly.
Yeah.
And see, because that sounds like a really good thing, and they're just doing it. You know, it's free because people can just sit there and watch. That Summer in the Square is a great initiative as well.
Yeah.
Mm. I was there yesterday, last night. Rob Mokareka was performing his piece, Shot Bro, Stories of a Depressed Bullet.
And yep.
It was
phenomenal.
It's a Fringe show, isn't it? I saw
it. It is. It's going to be at the Pump House, but it's it's a beautiful work that he's toured around New Zealand for the past couple of years. Highly recommend you catch that. It's actually got this exact same dates as my show, which is why I made sure I saw it yesterday.
Well, don't say that.
But see both shows.
See both. There's so much with the Fringe, isn't it? So have creative communities been involved in Fringe funding? Is it part of your mandate, or are you outside of...
Productions can come in from individuals who are performing in the Fringe to be funded. And I know Rob Mokarika's production at the Pump House has been funded by a creative community scheme. So, yes, it can fund anything. We just need the ideas to come in, and we need the applications to come in. And if I just might say, they're closing on the 23rd of February.
Right.
Make a note of that.
Make a note of that.
And if you miss this chance, the next one is the last Friday in August. So they're twice a year. So just remember to keep that on your deadlines. But Boosted is a great opportunity as well to keep things going. And you know.
Now, you've got a Boosted campaign, is that right?
Yes. So we're currently trying to raise $2,500 on Boosted, which translating that to tickets would mean that we're giving 100 tickets away for free. And we're currently sitting at 17%. We've got about 15 days to go. So we're kind of right now in the weird sort of lull middle time where it's sort of like we've done our first launch and now it's about building the momentum up to that final deadline, because Boosted, they're all or nothing. So if we don't hit that 100%, it all goes, all drips away again.
That's a shame. That is not how that works. A couple of them let you keep it if you get... You know, you keep what you get.
Mm.
But why? Do you know why that is, that they won't give you the... Is there reasoning behind it?
Well, I don't actually know. I'm sort of just riffing and saying, like, what I would imagine it would be, which is along the lines of, in terms of motivating people to get behind a cause and get behind a commitment, it's sort of... There's a sense of urgency behind that, I think.
How much have you got available in the community, creative community scheme?
It's 70 cents per head of population.
It's done on population.
It is. It's a nationwide program.
Yeah.
So Auckland, being having quite a large population, has got what appears to be quite a lot of money to grant.
Yeah.
But then you've got to say...
There's so many things that are going on, isn't there, within the community. So what's the criteria? If I was starting a youth theatre production with perhaps some steel drums and a bit of Shakespeare... at a festival, could I apply?
You could. We'd say this sounds like an exciting project, Richard.
Yeah. I've never heard that. Those words have never been in the mix in my life. That sounds like an exciting project, Richard. I don't think I've ever heard that. But anyway, what's the criteria?
So it's about any community, local community, being creative and have an opportunity to be creative. So that's as broad as there are ideas in the human imagination.
Mm. Mm.
So it's about arts-focused projects engaging with local community. So it can be a theatre project with young people. You can pay artists or directors to help you with the production. You could be training and mentoring young directors. You can be developing your scripts for production. You can have towards materials that you're using to create. Venue hire is actually quite a popular one. Because
yes,
it's the expensive one.
Because it's the bit that you might need the funding for to say, yes, I can go ahead with my idea.
Mm.
So we've got many...
Catering?
Catering, lots of projects have catering, but you have to fund that part yourself.
I know, I was being a bit facetious there.
But, you know, if you sell tickets, that can cover the cost of your catering.
Mm. Bar tab as well, of course.
Yes. Bar tab.
I love, because I love, you see, in on the Big Idea and various other social media, I'm looking for two actors to be in our production. We can't pay you, but it looks good on your CV and we'll feed you. So, yeah. Is that working? How's Burrows doing?
Burrow time. Yeah, my name, I guess I gave myself like the night off and just chilled when I found that sort of name for the company. It felt really great and really right. Because the thing that excites me about theatre is like its ephemerality and it is borrowed time at the same time. Mm. We're running all of our... It's profit share. We're modelling our contract off the equity standard co-op practices. And I'm actually underwriting a small fee that's a minimum payment as well. So if the show doesn't make money, I might be a bit out of pocket, but I think that it's a really hard thing, artists being expected to do a lot. And yes, we enjoy it. We love making art. It's what we want to do. But that doesn't put money in the bank or bread in the cupboard.
I think you need to think about talking to me about creative community scheme funding for your next project.
I'll get really chilling with you. Like, Auckland Council, I'm happy to be great friends with.
Yeah. John slowly moving around the sound desk towards Mary to become more friendly to try and get some funding, I'm pretty sure. And it must be hard, though, to decide. I mean, how many applications do you get in and how many are funded?
We fund about 75% of applications and to be successful. I don't make the decisions, but we have... committees around Auckland, because we've got quite a vast population and geographic spread. Mm. We have four committees in South, Central, North and West, about 40 assessors, and they come together as a committee to make the decisions about the funding. And they have to follow Creative New Zealand's schedule about whether it's a good idea, how you've worked out how you're going to deliver your project, what your budget's like, and can the people... deliver the project. That's the main...
Do you fund project. Workshops and classes?
We do. I do... Yes, workshops are very strong meeting to the criteria, because it's engaging people in learning new ideas and experiencing creative thinking. So it's an opportunity to give a community something to experience creative thinking, and that includes cultural creative practice as well. Mm. It's very broad.
So knitting, quilt making, crochet... They all fit the criteria because it's all art.
They all fit the criteria and they're being creative.
Writing a book.
If you're going to workshops with writers who are writing a book, teaching you how to write or teaching you how to publish, all these things would be eligible.
So you could fund, I didn't realise this, could you fund for professional development in the sense that Richard, you know, the struggling novelist, I've got five novels in my drawer at home. So Rich, I want to finish one of them. And I
now
see
he's
a work.
Closing up.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just, this is a hypothetical job. This is, I'm storytelling. There's five novels in my drawer. I want to finish one of them. There's a workshop with Anne, I've forgotten her last name, she's going to make who did
Glamazina.
Glamazina, thank you, who did Richman Road. To finish novels, and it's $500, and can I apply for $250 to go?
Not quite in that way.
Oh,
but
okay.
Anne Glamazina could be running a workshop, and she could invite people, and she could say she's doing different criteria, and she could have funding towards the workshop, and it would make it a more accessible price for you to go along.
Right. Mm. So funding towards means you won't fund the whole thing, but it helps to subsidise, doesn't it, for a workshop or even for tickets for people to go and see it for free, because that's participation.
Well, it enables somebody like John to put on a production, not have to take the money out of his back pocket.
Yeah.
And to guarantee that he can go ahead to do his production and put his story out for the community to come and enjoy, and make it maybe more accessible ticket pricing as well.
That's so fantastic.
It is. And creative communities has been around for a long time, isn't it?
I think it was in the early 80s it came into being. And it's a nationwide program.
All local government or councils have a creative community scheme?
That's right. It's done in partnership with Creative New Zealand. So the money comes from Ministry of Culture and Heritage, and because it's their grassroots...
God bless our new minister.
And because it's grassroots funding, then it's dispersed to different local authorities. We do the work of administering the fund, helping your produce off the ground. I go around Auckland meeting people to strengthen their applications, help them to put the information together.
So as an advisor, again, my novel, it's not looking good. So Anne's got the workshop. She's got some money, so she's advertised, but I want to go along. And I think, oh, well, actually, I'd like to run a workshop on how to finish a novel. And after going to Anne's. And so can I meet with you and say, hey, look, Mary, can I meet, make an appointment to come and see you, and can you help me strengthen my application?
Yes, I can do that, and I meet people all the time all over the region. At the moment, I'm meeting people mostly in the Bledisloe House in the CBD, so because we're getting only about 2 weeks away now from closing. But otherwise, I'm around the region, and if a group of people want to invite me to come along and talk to them about the fund, I can go out and, if they organise a meeting.
You must drink a lot of coffee.
A lot of green tea.
Do people will call up and go, can I take you for a coffee, Mary? I just want to discuss my novel. Yes.
I have a turmeric latte, please.
A turmeric latte? It's a bit flash, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cappuccino.
I just enjoyed the best one at Mangere Art Centre this week.
Oh, they've got a cafe running there now.
They have a beautiful, the community cafe at Mangere Art Centre. Very good.
Last couple of shows I've been there, there's been no cafe. So may have been just what was open. Who was running the show, perhaps? What's the venue for...
Judge, Jury and Cookie Monster.
Judge, Jury and Cookie Monster.
It's an interactive biscuit-based comedy trial.
Cheers for Cookie. It's good enough
Not
for me.
Quite. Oh. So it's Who Stole the Cookie from the Cookie Jar? So Who Stole the Cookie from the Cookie Jar? Richard stole the cookie from the cookie
it's
jar.
It's a lie. I don't eat cookies.
Is that because... Why is that? Why don't you eat cookies?
Processed food.
So would you eat a gluten or dairy free cookie?
I'm not into that free stuff. It's just real food. I'd eat a cookie that was made with, you know,
love,
really good ingredients.
If it was to support the community, though,
I'd eat anything.
Judge, Jury and Cookie Monster is on at Q Theatre in the Loft Space. We're in the second week of the Fringe, which is 27th of Feb to the 3rd of March, and we're at 8:30 p.m.
Gosh,
did you pick that venue?
I definitely deliberately approached them. They kind of had to pick me, though, in terms of the submission process and ticking it off. But, yeah, I'm stoked.
It's a great venue.
It's a beautiful space upstairs there, and it's kind of the... It's, I don't know if capacity-wise, but it's probably the technically... It technically has the most support of any of the Fringe venues within the program, I think.
Yeah.
I don't say that's a fact, but...
Q have got some incredibly... highly skilled technicians there, haven't they, to support you through.
It's so, a cool space as well in terms of staging. Is that something that you've found putting on the show this time, that you've been able to be a bit more creative using that space?
Well, it's an interesting sort of to and fro, really, because the show is interactive. It doesn't have the same... it has a lot of ambition in a not necessarily technical sense. It's ambitious in the sense that I don't know what's going to happen every night. The audience are very much going to take control, and they're going to... basically, it's Cluedo with cookies, so it's going to start off with three suspects, and they've got to narrow it down until they think they've found the one cookie monster who stole the cookie.
You know, is there any homage to the Cookie Monster on Sesame Street at all?
It's certainly... He's very, very present in the ethos and the love of the show, avoiding any copyright.
Right.
You can imagine that it's not something that we can sort of bandy about with.
So you'd call him Kooky Monster or something.
Is there a particular person... Is the story already defined? Like, do you have a person that you know as the person who's created the show is the person who stole the cookie?
So we've got... there's going to be a cast of seven actors as well as a guest performer every night.
Have you secured the Prime Minister yet?
I've not, no. I've got... Like, if she's listening, I've got the first four guests already lined up, but I do need someone for closing night.
Are you allowed to share who those guests are?
I'm not going to share that yet. I'm going to keep it.
But you know the Kick-Arts team are...
It's very
hurtful
that you haven't asked us, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you see, I am waiting on Jacinda, you see.
Like, because she'll do the last three nights.
Well, just the last one night's all I need, really. So the guest is the person whose cookie has been stolen.
Yeah.
There's a judge, there's a lawyer, there's the court taker who sort of facilitates everything. Mm. And then there are three actors who are playing the suspects. And, like, all three of them have got motive, and all three of them are tied to the scene. And yet, so the process of the trial and the court that the audience have to decide who they think it is.
I'm already so engaged. I really want to know. This is what happened with the Christmas Story last year. The woman from the Tim Bray production came in. I hadn't seen it before. And for, like, the weeks until I actually got to see it, I couldn't stop thinking about what happened in the story. Aww. This is what's going to happen. I really want to know who did it.
Well, you're going to have to come. You're going to have to.
Imagine what you're going to be like after the damn show. What you're like when you're just hearing about it.
It sounds like you might need to go to every single show because of a different outcome.
Exactly.
Well, that's the beauty of it, eh?
Exactly. Like, with a different guest and a different audience, it's inherently going to be different. It's narrowing it down from three suspects to two suspects to just one. I've got no idea who's going to seem the most guiltiest in that first round. It could well be that the audience end up prosecuting someone who's innocent.
I really
which happens in real life
after
absolutely
yeah, yeah.
I want to talk to you afterwards and like hear like how each night went and whether it went the way you expected it to or not. This is why I love Fringe.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it could be what the next show that you could go to Mary for to get some support.
Absolutely.
It could be an organization that tries to work on getting the people who've been prosecuted who were wrongly prosecuted out of prison.
Well, it was really interesting. This show was actually inspired by me going on jury service.
Right.
And it was an incredibly bizarre thing because the jury process, you get paid very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a civic duty and it's like you'll get paid less than minimum wage in terms of the hours and everything. But they treat you really nicely, like almost sort of that awkwardly too nice. And so you get tea, coffee, and you get biscuits.
Gosh.
I was, like, you'd expect, given the fact that you get paid so little money, that it's going to be sort of, like, home brand, supermarket brand biscuits. But it was the full shebang. It was, like, crispy Griffin's Crispies. It was, like...
Is it like giving blood?
Yeah, pretty much.
When they give the cameo creams.
I would go further.
Chocolate digestives.
I would go further.
That's the only reason I give blood.
I'd go further than giving blood. It was the full-on, like, toffee pops and, like, just really, they really went there. And I thought, like... Have they got sponsorship? Is it like, are these all Griffin's biscuits or something? But no, there was Arnott's as well. Like,
Strands.
They were like evenly sort of balancing it's out so this like weird. High-end cookie market.
Can I just say, I want to do a plug for the New Zealand Blood Service. And if you can, give blood, especially this time of year, it's really hard to get people to donate blood and plasma and platelets. Go in there because the cookies are amazing, despite what John says that perhaps
they are
better.
They are good.
They might be better at jury service because that's government funded. New Zealand Blood Service is... they are struggling for people, and as long as you haven't been in Britain between for more than 6 months between 1980 and 1996 and you meet some criteria and you're healthy over 50 kgs, it's well worth doing. It takes an hour of your time and you could save some lives.
It doesn't even take an hour.
Well, if you give platelets, it does. Platelets, plasma takes a bit longer, but blood will take 30 minutes
if that. Yeah,
and then you get to gorge
on cookies. You don't need to steal them, guys.
No,
like, just
no, there's
go
big
get them for
buckets
free.
Big buckets of them for you to reach. Do you give blood?
Yeah, I do. O positive.
Hypothetically, if someone, like, say a 25-year-old female co-host, was very scared of giving blood...
I don't know that you'd be...
someone told them some scary stories when they were a teenager...
Would
about you
vampires?
Take them with you and potentially hold their hand?
I would do that, but I would have to check that person was over 50 kgs.
I am.
Okay.
I mean, they are.
They are. You're not good at this game, are you? Next time I go, I'll take you with me.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and then you can come along and you can sign up. Have a biscuit together.
And we'll put a post on our Instagram
that we haven't. Do you give blood, Barry?
I do give blood.
Yeah. It's amazing because actually so many people are scared of it, you know.
Yeah.
I hate needles and I look away every time because I'm a bit of a wuss, but it's actually well worth doing. Now, how do we get on to giving biscuits? So what kind of biscuits can we... So if we turn up on opening night, are we... given biscuits?
Even if it's not opening night, everyone's going to get a biscuit. Again, I'm actually not quite yet able to say, but I have got a biscuit sponsor for the show.
They'd be really happy if you've got it. They'd be happy for you to say it, I'm sure.
Have
you got it?
I don't. They haven't given me the biscuits yet.
Why don't you tell them that that we'll do a shout out to them next time, and then they'll definitely they'll give you the biscuits straight away because we...
Well, I'm meeting up with them this week, and it's pretty much all guns blazing. And the exciting thing is that not only are they a biscuit sponsor, but they're a biscuit sponsor whose biscuits are vegan. They're gluten-free, dairy-free. So rather than just having to, like, sort of... I know you don't like it, but it's like going back to accessibility. Like,
actually, some of my favourite really biscuits are these gluten-free ones that you can get from the supermarket.
It's a fad.
It's a dietary requirement for a lot of people.
So you've got celiac disease.
Well, exactly. Yeah, so rather than me saying, like, yes, we've got these sort of biscuits here for those who aren't allowed normal biscuits, it's like, these are some delicious biscuits that the whole audience can have.
I do think that a lot of people go down the gluten-free road who aren't celiac, and it is actually a dietary fad as well. People think it's going to help them out by getting rid of gluten.
My twin sister made herself gluten intolerant.
The proof of that
is that we're identical twins.
Oh.
And I'm fine with gluten, and she's not now.
No, yeah, people it's do. A whole other show, as a fad, people do sort of, it can be a thing. But there are, for those who is legitimately, it's a thing.
But one night only, just trialling it. If they just wanted to trial a bit of gluten-free vegan lifestyle.
I have
how long's your show?
For 1 week.
Just for 1 week?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Any variety and accessibility in food that people eat is great. Favourite biscuit, Mary?
Chocolate chippies.
So, sitting at your desk, how do you sort through what to send off to the assessors? Do you have to cull? You said you fund 75%. Is that 75% of applications or 75% of those that go forward?
75% of applications that we receive that come in are funded.
How?
And it's up to the committee to decide what they're going to fund and what they think they can't fund on this occasion. So
you have no. So your actual job isn't to do the first filtering?
No, it was completely 100% not eligible for funding, like somebody wanted to buy
That's
some
a
bookshelves.
Polite way of putting it.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted You're to delicate. Buy some bookshelves to put some art on.
Right.
That wouldn't be eligible. It has to be a creative.
Unless it was for
project.
An exhibition.
But we wouldn't be
buying
purchasing
right,
capital items.
Right, gotcha. But if they wanted to rent some shelving to put some artwork on for an exhibition?
This is just getting so hypothetical.
Well, I'm just thinking about so people understand what the...
Okay.
Yeah, you can hire all sorts of equipment.
Yep.
You can hire your PA system, you can hire a marquee, you can hire your venue, hire your costumes. There are many things you can hire. Sometimes people donate cameras for projects with kids and to do things because I'm teaching kids how to use their smartphone and do smart photography. There are so many different things we can come together as a community to make things happen.
So does it work? So it's not just the council providing like financial support or something like that. It can also be that people can approach you with things that they have that they might want to.
They're probably the person who's organising their activity, got their idea. They'll be approaching people to make it happen. So many projects...
Like the biscuits.
Like the biscuits, that's right. So many projects will have some funding from the scheme. They may have some boosted funding as well. Like we've had film projects that got sources from multiple sources. Then you can have the business community might be donating things because sometimes projects have got a lot of activity and costs involved with them. So you've got to build up your resources.
So, okay, here's another hypothetical. I'm a Jamaican reggae artist. It's my birthday on Tuesday. I'm wanting to have a concert.
This isn't hypothetical.
Can I please get some money to hire a marquee and a PA system so I can do a free concert for the community? Would that be criteria, or do I have to be a New Zealand citizen?
You have to be a New Zealand citizen.
Bugger. So Bob Marley wouldn't have been able to apply.
I'm afraid not, no.
Wow, but it is his birthday on Tuesday.
Happy birthday, Bob Marley.
Bob. Mm. So every year at this time we play Bob Marley songs. I'm just going to give you guys a break and we're going to play a little Bob. You got a favourite Bob song?
I was actually just thinking, as you were saying that, I remember the first time I ever heard a Bob Marley song and it changed my life. It was when I was 11. And it was around the time that I first heard also the Police, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just like, you know those moments that just change you? And it was Jamming.
Oh, God, that's what I was actually going to play. I love that song myself. So, Jamming, Bob Marley, when we come back, we're going to talk about how our guests got involved with the arts and their journey to where they are today here on Kick Arts on this lovely summer Sunday night.
Jamming. I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming. Cause every day we pay the price for the love and sacrifice. We jam until the jam is through. We're jamming. To think that jamming was a thing of the past. We're jamming. In Mount Zion, it rules all creation. Yeah, we're jamming. So jam by my side. We're jamming,
jamming, jamming, jamming.
I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming, 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 we're jamming. Hope you like jamming too. We're jamming, we're jamming,
jamming,
we're jamming, we're jamming,
jamming.
That is like the sound of summer for me. Reggae, and Pacific reggae particularly, I just love, as well our own style.
Did you go and see the, I forget what it was called, but there was an exhibition on at the museum last year, about this time last year, that was about New Zealand music?
It's on at the moment.
Is it on again?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh, yes.
That's so exciting.
We were going to have one of the people from the museum on the show, but she couldn't make it because of another commitment.
Oh, well, I'm going to go back and I might do another review because I absolutely loved it last year. And when I went, I think it was in the last couple of days, so there were so many people, which didn't take away from it too much. I still loved it. But one of the things that I really got away from it was learning about how Bob Marley and reggae and how that's been a part of like Māori and Pacifica empowerment in New Zealand and like learning about the influence on groups like the Herbs.
Mm.
Yeah, it was so interesting.
Yeah.
Really like to learn more about that.
Go back and read the exhibition again.
Yeah, I will.
Favourite New Zealand song, Mary? Do you have one? That's a really hard question, eh? Without giving you a chance to think about it. I want your favourite New Zealand song. John.
Language. Dave Dobbin Language.
Okay.
Mine would be probably a Don McGlashan. Not that you were asking.
No, I wouldn't ask you.
Maybe Anchor Me. He's actually playing at the Tatarangi Music Festival at the end of March. Don McGlashan. Wow. Everyone should go and check out that lineup. Just came out in the last couple of days, and it's seriously next level, so good. Just a little TFM plug there.
And I've just been listening to Racing's new EP that's come out, and I'm just what's the name of that song? But it's got a very repetitive beat and
Racing.
Right.
Is it a New Zealand band?
A New Zealand band, yes.
Because I don't know them.
The Racing is the Czechs and a guy from that other band that I like.
Ah, yeah, the other band you like.
They're really good. They've got a New Zealand on air funding, I think. Is it New Zealand on air? What's the music funding?
Doing video, or to do video funding.
Yeah, over the last couple of years. Oh, cool. Yeah, they're exciting. Oh, we just have some amazing music. Seriously.
Would you like to fund everything that comes across your desk?
I think there are some ideas that come across the desk that need a little bit more development. They've just not quite at that stage of development yet. But we work with everybody to help them to be successful, to get their ideas up and off the ground. And if it needs a bit more fine-tuning, come back and work on it and represent the idea.
I love that nurturing approach.
Mm. Rather than, nah, you didn't get it.
Yeah, not cutthroat. Just
yeah, sorry.
Really nurturing. Like, I think positive reinforcement goes a long way.
Yeah, you're doing really well tonight, Georgia, on the show, by the way.
Thanks. I wish I could say the same about you,
Richard. Okay.
Sorry. Oh, no positive reinforcement.
Sorry, seriously.
That was great. Hey, that was good. That was a good comeback.
And I don't have to wish. I can, because you are doing great.
Oh, great.
Love you.
Mary, what's your background? Because you have an arts background, performing arts background.
Yes, I started off in classical music.
Oh.
And that was quite a long time ago. I've always played the piano, the violin, and I sang. I heard Krista Ludwig singing, and I wanted to sing like her, so I did many years of training in classical music and did performances. But I also did training in English literature, and I found after about my mid-late 20s, classical music wasn't very financially sustainable.
the arts will stop.
Yep.
And so I pursued publishing as a career, and I was in publishing for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
But then the big global restructures came and hit New Zealand, and the publishing industry was always quite fragile. But with purchasing of lots of New Zealand publishing companies, a lot of them stopped publishing New Zealand writers. And at that point, when the company I was working for was sent offshore, I called on all my community work that I'd always been doing in a parallel life. So it means I really understand what it's like to be a volunteer and what it's like to be as a community and how much work people put into things.
Mm.
And I now work supporting the arts. And the reason I like to do this work is because I really like, with emergent practitioners and other people, to help people. You've got these ideas, get them off the ground, make them come to light, tell your stories. And that's why I think this fund is a wonderful way to work with people and to get their stories out there.
Is it, it doesn't have to be professional, does it?
No, it doesn't have to be professional at all. But often there might be a professional engaged with the project, because that just might give it a different... It helps people understand, get new ideas so they can deliver a stronger outcome. But it is also about not only arts as we think of arts, but creative cultural practice as well, because we were talking about the wonderful theatre that's going on. You know, I've seen a lovely production in Gujarati. I didn't understand the language, but the theatre production was so exciting and vivid, you could tell the whole story.
Mm.
And we've got productions like this happening all over Auckland, stories of communities that are in Auckland engaging their stories, and that's what we can support.
And so 75% represents how many each funding round? Or is that hard to quantify?
Probably around about 180, 170 applications.
Massive.
So it's several hundred a year.
But the funding is limited to... But like the biggest fund, the smallest amount you give and the biggest amount you get. Is there a limit?
No, there's no limit, which is a bit difficult for people to comprehend.
Yeah.
But projects vary so much.
So if I put in a claim for... not a claim. If I put in... I don't deserve that claim. If I put in an application for $12,000, is that going to be at the top end?
It would be very much at the top end. And for one person, it would probably be a bit over the top.
It's going to take me a long time to finish this novel.
I think, for example, we've funded things from about $500 to maybe $10,000 or $12,000, but that would be something like the ukulele festival with hundreds of children playing the ukulele in the event stadium.
That festival's amazing.
Yes, yeah. And I really admire the passion of the people who go forward and organise all these events.
Oh, yes, because they're volunteers.
They're all volunteers.
Was there some issue with ukulele funding last ukulele festival and funding last year? No, that's the youth choir last year. Do you remember that last year? We had someone in from the youth choir and they were...
No.
Lost some funding. I don't think that was creative community. So
they have had some funding from the creative community scheme, but many groups have to get funding from multiple sources.
Oh, yeah. Do you, John?
Get funding.
What sources do you get funding from? Like Tomato or?
Well, no, I'm predominantly.
Oh my god, that was a dare joke.
That was so good. I'm going to use that.
Yeah. I very much am self funded at this stage. Yeah. Sort of, I work a nine. Well, it's not even a 9 to 5, it's more like a 5 to 9. I sell ice cream wholesale. So that's what funds my
You
art.
Sell ice cream wholesale.
I do, yeah.
Perfect time of year to be doing that.
It's what busy, it's frantic.
Can you tell me how you do that?
I don't understand what that means.
So I go in a truck, so I am in a truck with another driver, and we go to dairies and petrol stations and sell in. And we're allowed to, I'm not doing product placement. I work for one of the big companies that has big brother utility, making it sound really negative. It's a little bit negative. It's a bit of a soul-crushing big company that's selling products that is ice cream and makes people happy.
It's the sugar.
It's the sugar.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, so you have to survive though, don't you?
Exactly, yeah.
And how was that for you, working from 5 to 9 and then...
Well, 5 till 3. 5 in the morning till, mid-afternoon, depending on the weather.
Is it true that people buy more ice cream in the winter than this? Not in the winter, but on cold days and hot days? I heard some kind of...
It's because they get melty. Because I tell you what...
You're wagging your finger at me. Did you see that?
Okay.
She actually, for our listeners, Georgia was wagging her finger at me.
I feel passionate about this. Now, don't judge me.
Okay.
But I, after years and years and years of not eating any McDonald's after I watched... I forget that documentary on
Super
YouTube,
Size Me.
On YouTube. The one Food Something.
Oh, yeah. We'll come back to it.
It's really, really good. And I, didn't have any Coke or Nestle products. I didn't do, nothing to do with Monsanto, no McDonald's. Recently, I've become obsessed with the $2 soft serve McDonald's that they dip in chocolate.
Don't and it's
in a
waffle cone. Those people
cone.
On our show.
It's on a waffle cone. It's $2 and...
Nothing
more
in there
times
is food.
Than not that I go, they're not serving them because the machine is too melty. And it doesn't matter where I go.
Should have tried one today. Wasn't that warm today? Wasn't that as warm as it was? We're back to food again.
It's
amazing how food can inspire conversation. Like biscuits can inspire an entire play. I'm still quite fascinated by that. So you were in jury service, they gave you the biscuit and you went, oh, shit, I'll make a play out of this.
Well, yeah, it was that along with It was a fairly serious trial that I was on at the District Court, Auckland District Court, and without going into sort of that, there's just a rapport between the lawyers, both prosecution and defence, and there's this, it's gallows humour. It's this really weird sort of thing of we're in this really serious situation where some people have been incredibly hurt and someone is facing very severe consequences for those actions. And there's this rapport between the court staff, which is sort of like it's their day job still. Mm. They do this day in, day out. Mm. And there's a certain, not laissez-faire at all, but there's a certain sort of comfortability with being in that environment that sort of had this really sort of bizarre effect of a courtroom can be quite an odd place.
Well, it's drama, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, it can be.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a lawyer, but when I realised how actually boring is that? Is English not good, is it?
A lot of paperwork.
It is, a lot of paperwork. And unless you've got private investigators and, a bit of...
Well, I've been watching a lot of courtroom drama TV shows, and it is that thing of, if you watch a courtroom drama TV show, it's like research, information, bang, you're in the courtroom, bang, new evidence, and it's like that sort of...
Favourite court show?
I've been sucked into The Good Wife so much.
Yeah.
I adore
it.
I love him.
Have you read his book?
I've not read his book, but I have seen him live.
I've got it in my house ready to lend to Richard, and then I can lend it to you. Everyone should read it. It's brilliant.
Okay. Alan Cumming's book. Can't wait.
How about Judge Judy? How do you feel about her?
Oh my God, Judge Judy.
That is, very much. But have you seen the British counterpart, Judge Rinder?
No.
Judge Rinder is just glorious.
Does she wear a wig?
He.
Oh, he? Does he wear a wig?
No, and he's fairly bald. He's just this beautifully...
We don't talk about reality television shows on Kick-Arts, I'm just saying.
Oh, well, you brought it up. You asked me the question.
You mentioned Judge Judy. Rinder. You can talk to him about it afterwards.
Okay, we can do that.
Boston Legal?
I do love Boston Legal, yep.
That's real TV.
Law and Order.
was always awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
So your play, is it mainly fun?
Oh, it's incredibly... It's if the audience should be leaving just, like, with a grin on their face constantly. So much of the humour, if it's not getting you laughing, I hope it's making you grin.
Okay.
So it starts off...
Or a smirk, even.
Exactly, like, because there's a lot of punnage going on. There's just a lot of puns. Like, specifically a lot of biscuit references. Tim Tampering of the court. It's just... Like, the thing that I love about puns is they're inherently all terrible, and that's usually what makes them brilliant.
It is, absolutely. And
so there's a lot of that goes on, along with the fact that we're in a courtroom taking the case of who stole the cookie from the cookie jar incredibly seriously. Sort of the stakes for just a small piece of confectionery immediately makes it all quite bizarre.
It's quite a lot of food, eh? Steaks as well. So, here's one for you. English literature you studied.
Yes.
What was your specialty? It wasn't punnage, was it?
No, it wasn't punnage. I started off actually studying Old English and Middle English.
Oh, wow.
But then I also moved on to New Zealand writers and New Zealand literature.
So, your favourite New Zealand authors? Gosh, I'm putting you on the spot a lot tonight, aren't I?
Maurice G.
Yeah, I was about to say Maurice G too. I really want to go and see Under the Mountain.
Oh, good on you.
Coming out as a play.
Yes, on Wednesday night.
We had
their
guests in a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. I wasn't here, but I listened to the show, and I was like, holy schmoly, I really want to go to that.
Yeah. Richie Gribb, my Unitech classmate, is one of the twins in the show.
Ah, nice.
Go see it.
Go see it.
You a Maurice G fan?
I've read quite a few of his, yes.
Yeah. There's we had someone from the Writers' Festival last year who said that, unfortunately, going back to what you were saying about publishing companies shutting down here, a lot of New Zealand books don't get picked up by outside publishing companies because they seem to be little New Zealand books. But actually, if you look at some of those wonderful books that have been written, The Wish Child, you know, those sorts of things that have been written, and they do so well overseas. So, because we have some amazing authors here, we really do.
Is that because a lot of our books are, like, for instance, thinking about Maurice G, that a lot of New Zealand writers base their books in New Zealand, and maybe that's not so relatable?
Well, that's going back to the book, Wish Child's based in Germany during World War II.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, and that's an amazing book. So have you got a view on that, with how that came about?
I think New Zealanders have got a universal. We travel all over the world. We're a migrant community as well. We've got people from all over the world living in New Zealand. We've got universal stories to tell. And sometimes we're very difficult to place. So it gives a sort of neutrality and a truth to the story we're telling.
So we refer back to Rich Man Road by Anne, and her book talks about a Samoan teenage girl and working with a woman from Europe who fled during World War II, and their story is kind of how they meld together. And, well, it's set in New Zealand, and she always thought that they lived in a place called Rich Man Road, and it wasn't very rich in the days that it's set. This is in the 50s and 60s. It talks about both stories are almost international, because one's in Europe, one's a Pacific Island, but they meet in New Zealand. Mm. It's a really, really good book. I highly recommend that one. It's one of my favourite New Zealand books. But we have skilled authors who don't, if you start writing, I mean, if you look at international authors, they don't always set it in their location, do they, or in their place.
No, they create the world.
Mm. And if we identify New Zealand authors as just, it's like saying we had Aroha Aroa here, who's a Māori playwright, but he's not a Māori playwright. He writes plays about his worldview, which doesn't necessarily involve Māori, and he keeps getting told to write Māori plays. But that puts him in a box to write just Māori plays, and actually he wrote a play about Las Vegas in the 50s or something. So, you know, it's about boxing people, isn't it?
Yes, and that's the perception of the people trying to publish and generate income who are not New Zealand publishing companies. I think it's why quite a lot of people are beginning self-publishing now. And very successfully.
So
is that something that's on the rise? And why is that on the rise? Because it's affordable?
Well, it's affordable. You can get your book published. There's a lot of help now through Amazon.
Oh, yes.
Helping do that sort of activity. But I think also because we've got lots of very small publishing houses starting up again. going back to before we had the bigger publishing houses that have now been no longer publishing New Zealand work, like A.H. Reid, they don't exist anymore.
Because they were massive New Zealand publishers, weren't they?
They published a huge amount of New Zealand books.
And educational resources and maps and all sorts of things, yeah. Language is important. So is the song. Dave Dobbin, you said language, your favourite New Zealand song?
Yep.
Should we have a little listen to that, eh?
Please.
This is a shout-out to John from Burrow Time and his favourite New Zealand song, Language, by Dave Dobbin, off the album Twist, a New Zealand classic. Did you say something, Anne?
Oh, yeah, do you want me to... this show featured in Daffodil's Bullet Heart Clubs, which travelled around New Zealand and also over to Edinburgh and London. And I loved the review here in New Zealand. That it was around when the new flag was being debated, John Key's sort of little brainchild, and it was like, no, the show should be the new flag. Just do it now. Make Daffodils the country's national flag.
Well, it got so many good... it's one show I tried to get to so many times and couldn't. I don't know. Ridiculous.
Missing it.
Too busy.
They're making it into a film at the moment. There's a film adaptation.
Yes, I saw that. They were looking for funding through Boosted. Was that being done through
the
Film
original,
Commission?
When it was going to Edinburgh, it had a Boosted campaign.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
To the fringe there.
Is it hard to have to beg for money? Because essentially that's kind of what Boosted is. And you, and the sad thing is the people that fund those things are people that are usually in the arts and haven't got a lot of money themselves.
Well, the thing for me about Boosted campaigns, because I totally agree with you, it so often ends up being people asking family and friends. And if you look at my Boosted right now, I've got an incredibly supportive like team of family and friends. But it's... Basically, it originated crowdfunding as a means is sort of the little man's patronage. Back in ye olde England, with when the king would have the king's men, and the king would sponsor this all to happen. Mm. And theatre companies now, with whether it's massive corporate sponsors or people donating, it's patronage. But it's patronage for artists who don't have the means or the sort of infrastructure to set them up themselves. It sort of adds a legitimacy to why they're... Well, not to why it needs it, but how it can go about asking for that support.
What would be your ideal situation for artists to be supported?
Oh, well, that's just a dream of sort of... Not only is it a balance of artists being sort of paid a living wage in the process of making the work, but there's this sort of weird stigma about artists being able to make money beyond that. And I think that's a real shame, sort of commercial being a poo-poo word in the arts a lot of the time. I feel like it shouldn't be sort of this... It shouldn't be a question that it has value, because I think that's what it boils down to. It's not about arts needing funding. It's a lack of recognition that... not a lack of recognition like across the board, but from the general like larger population, there's a lack of recognition, particularly in New Zealand culture, of what the value of arts actually is.
Mm-hmm. And so many times in the early days, people say, "Get a real job. Exactly. Why don't you get a real job? Well, you've got one selling ice cream."
I do.
And so you have to finish work at 3 o'clock and then go and work to do this.
So it's like ice cream mornings, theatre nights.
Yeah, but you're young and fit and healthy.
Try to be.
Does that impact... Well, don't eat too much ice cream.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or biscuits. Does it impact on your life a lot? And when you're doing a show, is it really tired? Do you find yourself just exhausted or...?
Right now, currently, today I kicked off rehearsals at 11 o'clock and we were straight through...
Actors in, hours.
I need a sleep in if I'm working most days at 4:30. And then that was like straight through. We'd photo shoot this afternoon, production meeting, and then I've been back to here. Like, it's sort of, I work a full-time job in one sense, and then the arts is very full-time. Much a full-time job as well. So I don't quite know when I relax, but I love what I do, so.
How do you feel about the, what they used to call the actor's wage, which was the, which National took away two elections ago? And that's where actors got supported through the benefit, but it was rather than called the unemployment benefit, it was called the actor's wage, where artists and actors got applied for and got, I think, 6 months to be supported in doing work and boost their careers. Do you think that's a good thing?
That sounds great. Yeah, it sounds incredible, because a lot of the reason why it's so difficult for emerging artists to make the traction to move, like, one thing is I don't know when people stop emerging is sort of one question, but it's so hard to commit to something full-time without support or without the means of income. So the sort of the progression to get somewhere substantial where you can make a living off your craft is slowed down by the fact that you can only commit so much time to it.
So why do you do it?
I love it. It excites me, especially sort of my big thing that I've found through interactive and immersive works. Like Judge Jury I wouldn't describe as immersive, but it's certainly interactive, is the centrality of the audience and the live presence and the relationship and the community that exists. It's my communion, really. When there's a whole lot of people in a room or in a public space sharing the same experience. There's sort of a buzz and an energy about it, and I love it.
And yet that experience is different for everybody in the room.
Exactly.
Mm, the magic of theatre. Mm. So your job's really important, Mary, obviously, in the arts. It'd be true to say that a lot of things in Auckland wouldn't happen if creative communities weren't out there funding it.
It has enabled a lot of activity. I think in the last financial year, we're going to talk about financial years, but there was about 500,000 audience created through about 50,000 participants creating activity with support from funding from Creative Community Scheme, which was maybe 30% of the value of their total project.
Mm.
So I'm not giving any figures here.
No. don't know.
But you know, it enables a lot of activity to happen.
Yeah.
And
it must be quite exciting to be part of that process.
Well, that's what I really enjoy about the work that I do, is about enabling other people to get, or, you know, get their work and ideas to light, and get their ideas off the ground and make them happen.
So tell us a couple of ideas that have been funded.
Well, we've got some, rather than talking about the criteria, we've got, there's the Deaf Wellbeing Society, and they're starting a project, three workshops called Waitangi Māori Arts Workshops. A large number of the deaf community are Māori, and this funding is enabling them to have a trained artist from Elam, who's also deaf, work with them in a sign language way through Māori design, and then over three workshops they're going to create their own work.
Wow.
So that's just one example of the type of project that this has been funded. Another one in the Kiribati community, and I'm just thinking at the moment the great loss the Kiribati community has had here, the Kiribati stick dance. It's an example of a project where people are retaining their cultural heritage. This dance had not been seen for decades, I believe, and they taught the dance. They had funding to teach the dance to their young community and make the costumes for it. It's a dance that's performed in the moonlight in Kiribati, and they eventually did their performances at the Arena Stadium, and about 90% of the Kiribati community came along to participate. So that's a sort of example of a cultural creative project.
Mm.
And that's, so we've got theatre, we've got music performances, we've got cultural projects, we've got something that's inclusive for the experience and a creative project process for everybody in Auckland.
That sounds amazing. I'm thinking about all the projects I wanted, my novels, my plays, my flute dance. Have you seen my flute dance? I did it once on Kikarts. You might not have been here then.
I haven't seen your flute dance or heard your flute dance. But
Flute, not fruit.
Hey,
not my fruit dance.
But thinking about, like, money and art and these things, I would be really interested to hear about what you thought of the Banksy exhibition.
Oh.
So it's quite controversial.
Mm. Yeah, so I went to Banksy on Friday because I actually bought tickets last year because my son's a graffiti artist, a budding graffiti artist, actually quite a good graffiti artist. He's 14, going on 15. Mm. And it interested him, you know, a lot. It interests me. I think Banksy's politics I really enjoyed. I like the fact he uses graffiti to make a political statement, and he doesn't claim money for it. And the irony being that it's become so commercial because people actually are putting perspex over top of work and cutting it out of walls and selling it at auction for, you know, $100,000. But I wanted to go and see it. I didn't realise until... I believe this was the same exhibition that went to Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an exhibition in Tauranga last year as well, and that was free. And this was brought over by the McPhersons. And it's an exhibition that was curated by his ex-business partner, who was his agent for 10 years until the mid-90s. And they fell out acrimoniously. And there's a mention of that on a placard in the exhibition, which says, you know, it's too hurtful to go into detail, which is a bit pissy offy, actually, because this man was making... It's not good English, is it? No. Mary's shaking her head shamefully at me. So it annoyed me considerably that he was willing to exploit Banksy's work and yet not willing to own up and talk about the issues that broke them up. And one of them was the commercialism of it.
Yeah.
And Banksy hasn't... he hasn't sanctioned this exhibition. I didn't realise. So it was only the week before that I read a commentary on it, I think, in Spinoff. And I was like, oh, my goodness me. If I'd known that, I probably still would have gone.
Yeah.
But I would have been a bit more... I was a bit shocked.
Well, and how much are the tickets?
30 early bird, 35. I paid early bird $30 a ticket.
Yeah,
so
I love Banksy, but I can't afford $30.
Well, also the Resene people had sponsored it, and their name was all over it, and it was kind of there was some iconic works, but these were works that he'd done to exhibit in exhibition halls, not actually on the wall. There were a couple of pieces that had been. There was one from a warehouse that was quite impressive. Mm. It was a recreation of Iwo Jima. But on a car, So the flag-raising famous shot of the American Marines on an Iwo Jima, raising the American flag, but they were raising it on a car, and they were LA street kids, and that was kind of cool. Mm. I'll show you a photo later. But I don't know, I felt... actually, also, I wandered around and went, oh, okay, is that it?
I think it's the spin-off one. Is that Sam Brooks's, perhaps? But it was a warm-up to the gift shop, I think, was sort of the clickbait on that one.
Because, the exhibition was just, ironically, the gift shop on the way out. And even my son, Josh, went, I don't want a T-shirt. Jeez. You know, and I think he got the idea of what... Because graffiti art is about, running along the railway tracks in Henderson and spray-painting walls.
Well, yeah, because that's how I feel about Banksy, is that it's a lot of his pieces are stories of marginalised people, and just these really in-your-face, very immediate statements of conflict,
yep.
and conflict against consumerism and capitalism. And I just thought that was, it seemed to me, when somebody asked me if I wanted to go with them and
did they offer to pay?
They actually, I didn't go with them, and they bought me a T-shirt, which is cool, because now I have the T-shirt, but I don't feel bad about that, because I actually really like Banksy.
Oh, the irony.
Like 99 times out of 100, I want to go if it's in the arts, but this time I was kind of like, no, I feel weird about that. But
the good thing was that, and again, he does irony beautifully. Did you see the exhibition? Have you seen it?
No, I didn't see the exhibition. I was thinking about going, but then I was reflecting on the ethics of the... nature of what Banksy's work is.
Yeah. It's just weird, right? It's kind of niggly.
One of my favourite pieces was people lining up to buy a T-shirt saying capitalism sucks, and there's a sign saying T-shirt's $30. And people are like, and you just go, this man just gets irony beautifully, and he really does. And there are a couple of photos in there too that his ex-business partner had taken. And there's Banksy working, and you've got the back of him, and you can see he's got brown hair and he's wearing glasses. So, anyone could, with modern
facial... You've got brown hair. You're wearing glasses.
Yeah. I don't get to travel the world. I've never been to Israel. But, I think it was okay.
I'm not convinced that you're not Banksy.
Okay.
I've got brown hair. Did you steal my glasses?
Yeah. We don't necessarily think that Banksy's a male, although he's referred to as him quite often. But it could be a woman. It could be several people as well. That's the other thing. Because it's stencil, it could actually be several people. Mm. It doesn't have to be one person. And, that's why he could get all over the world, because you send a stencil, over, and, there could be an artist who designs it and gets people around the world to do the work.
Hey, I have a question.
We're supposed to question the guests, not each other.
I have a question for everyone.
Okay.
In your all expert opinion, how much do you think that... Okay, so it would be fair to say there is a big fan base, a large fan base for Banksy.
Yeah.
How much do you think of that is influenced by the kind of mystery of it? Like, how much of it is about his work, and how much of it is it like, who is Banksy?
Well, for me personally, it's his work. I like what he says with his work. Mm. I really do. It's not about whether who he is. I don't give a...
I'd sort of agree with you, but also disagree in the sense that it's inherent. That influences his art. That is his art. Mm. I worked with a gorgeous company called Coney HQ in London. They call themselves makers of play rather than makers of theatre. Cool. And one of the things they sort of... one of their beliefs, their ethos, is that in someone's experience, an audience experience begins when they first hear about something and doesn't stop until they stop thinking or talking about it. And I love the longevity of that. The moment you hear Banksy's name, regardless of whether you know it's his work, you've got an impression of what that is, and that ends up being like part of your experience of his art. Mm.
Have you got an opinion, Mary?
I think it's the political context and the irony of the statement that he makes that manages to pinpoint exactly. He crystallises the issues, and that's the significance of his work.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is.
And I guess in a society as well where we are absolutely obsessed with this idea of celebrity and money, to then have someone who's going, hey, you know who I am by my name, but you don't know anything about me, and I'm a total mystery, and I'm not making any money off this, is a huge, like, F you to capitalism, which is just quite beautiful.
The have you seen Exit Through the Gift Shop documentary?
I heard that it's I heard a, what's the word, conspiracy, that that's created by Banksy, and the whole thing is fake.
That was a really good documentary. A little bit racy, really. Oh, speaking of which, so you're on your favourite New Zealand song, you mentioned. Well, you mentioned Racing the Band.
Racing the Band, yes.
And you can't remember the name of the song that you were listening to, but we might play the first one off the rank, which is called Motel Pool. Yeah. What do you think of pools and motels? I'm not a big fan, personally.
Doesn't sound attractive.
Doesn't, eh? Motel pools. It just conjures up a pool in somewhere like Whangarei, and you're on your way up north for the holidays, and it's been raining, and you go to go for a swim because it's really, really hot, and you look in the pool and go, nah, because there's a layer of... Just reflecting on my summer. Okay. Motel pool, that's why I've chosen the song. So this is for you, Mary.
Thank you.
New Zealand song. another great Eyre Kadar song. Where did you hear that first? Do you remember?
Probably in my living room, catching it on a web broadcast.
Okay. Do you listen to a lot of arts programs and web broadcasts and music? And
I usually seek out web broadcasts because my interests are fairly
eclectic.
Fairly eclectic. Yeah. Yes, they don't fit into the broad stream.
No, that is a really, really. I really enjoy that. That guitar at the end. Very. Definitely seems like a 70s influence too. There's a real 70s, especially that kind of reverb sound. Kind of reminds me of, I've heard, because I wasn't around then, but I think my dad might have mentioned it at some point in my life. I heard about it. The 70s, yeah, nice. Right, speaking of 70s, is it $70 to go to your show, John?
Not at all, no.
Didn't think so.
The highest ticket price is $25, but if you reckon you can get your own jury together, 12 or more people, it's actually just
$12.
Wow. For the whole jury?
So $12 per person. Oh, right. So if you can get more than 12 people to book with you all at once, then that's over 50% off.
We just need 10 listeners to come with us.
I know.
And Miriam will come with us. Yes. We just need 9 listeners.
9 listeners. Okay, 9 listeners. How about the first 9 listeners that booked? Oh, no, that's not going to work. It's just too confusing. And so the dates are?
So the 27th of February to the 3rd of March, we're on at Q Theatre Loft at 8:30 p.m.
Yeah. So is there, have you got a presence on social media?
Presence on social media, Borrowed Time on Facebook is, yeah, look it up. Mm. We're there. And there's also an event for the show itself, Judge, Jury and Cookie Monster, if you type all that in. I'm sure it'll pop up with our little gavel and our golden text.
And the Boosted campaign?
Boosted campaign is on now, so boosted.co.nz or org.nz.
Just search Boosted.
Exactly. And Judge, Jury and Cookie Monster, it's trying to free Y Reserve tickets, so for every $25 donated every $25 donated, it's a free ticket. So whether you can donate 1, 2, 3, maybe even a third of a ticket to that will actively go to someone who's not involved in the production whatsoever getting to see the show for free.
So we're talking about young people who are struggling artists, actors,
At the
musicians.
Moment, performing arts students, so actively studying, like, right now. So starting this year, whether that's Unitech, the Actors Program, South Seas, just need to send us an email, borrowedtimenz@gmail.com, and we'll be sending you details.
Brilliant.
To see
well
it for
done.
Free.
That's fantastic. Good luck with the production.
Thank you.
If Jacinda doesn't come up to scratch, then just give me a call.
Same email, Jacinda. Please just give us a buzz.
But if she doesn't, just call my agent. Mary. Mary. So if John had thought about it and got in early enough last year for Creative Communities, that's my segue, leave it alone, how would he have done that?
Well, this is on the new council website, this is the information everybody needs to know. You search for arts, very easy, 4-letter word. Sometimes it comes up as arts, culture and heritage. Go for arts and then select artist opportunities. And on that page, which you should keep for your reference, you'll find Creative Community Scheme, which is closing on the 23rd of February. You will find the Regional Arts and Culture Grants Program, which is closing, I think, on the 2nd of March. You will find Matariki Corf to be in the Matariki Program, which is closing on the 10th of February, which is this week. So just get a venue and a place sorted out and your idea into the Matariki Program, if that suits you. You'll find the Corf for the Pacific Program for the year. And you will find other artist opportunities that are coming up there all the time. You'll also find all the venues that we've got to do your event, managers who can help you, and if you're really looking for a place, try community facilities, because you'll need to upload venue information and how much it's going to cost you as part of your funding application. So that's a very easy way to find a pricing.
Wow.
I can't wait to read your book when it comes out, Richard.
Well, I was just looking, you know, just to see if I can get a book publishing deal, and actually I might just take Mary for a paprika,
turmeric,
soy flat white, and talk to her about publishing, because she seems to know. So, you know, seem to have quite a few connections, a bit of knowledge in the old publishing world. You might be able to help out with that. Might just maybe get a couple of grand for my novel and And I'm just joking.
Take some
2 weeks.
Off,
they've got 2 weeks to get it in for this round. Otherwise, they wait till August.
August.
So people, get off your collective chuffs. It's a good opportunity to get some funding for local projects here in the Auckland region. Creative communities, just go to the Auckland Council website and look after arts and artists opportunities. It's all there for you, and do it, because actually 75% of projects are funded. So if you've got a good idea with some good sense behind it and a good budget and stuff, and it's going to be good for the world, then you might just get a little bit more support than you've got at the moment, eh, John?
Happy.
So when you relaunch the next play...
Oh, I've already got two lined up.
Well, so August, you see, there's a funding round coming up, mate. A funding round for you. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight, the Sunday night. I know it's a long weekend. A lot of people have gone away, A lot of people have gone away to get away from Auckland. And, I like Auckland, though. I think it's kind of cool.
Especially when everyone goes away.
Yeah. It's the best time to be here, isn't it? It's a little bit of Bob to go out on. So much trouble in the world. There is. But actually, we've got the arts, which keep us happy, keep us engaged, keep the world a good place. So if you're out there working in the arts industry, you know what? Or the arts sector, we'd just like to call it. Keep going there. There's support for you, Creative Communities, Creative New Zealand, Boosted. There's all sorts of opportunities, and you're doing a fantastic job to put smiles, grins or smirks on people's faces. And we'll see you next week. We've got another show. Are you going to be here next week, or are you off?
I'm here next week.
Okay, lovely. Good. So George and I'll be back. Same time, same place. KickArts1@gmail.com. If you're doing something in the arts, you can just get in touch with us and let us know. We don't do shout outs or review or previews or event lists or anything. We want you to come in here and talk about what you're doing, who you are, and all that more interesting things, eh, Georgia?
Yeah.
She's grooving away to Bob there.
Yeah, I am actually. It's caught my heartstrings.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite Bob chats. Happy birthday, Bob. He would have been pretty old if he was. He died in 77 and he was 38. So, maybe not that old. It's about 50. Oh, he'd be his late 70s, early 80s by now, if you do
the
maths.
Can I just say that did a really big jump between 50s to 60s to 70s just then?
Yeah, I know. It did. I'm sorry about it. 38 plus 50? 38 plus 40. Is 78. He must be. He would have been his late 70s. Great musician. Inspirational. So, now I've lost my outro, thanks to you, Georgia.
He died in 81.
81. And he was 38.
So he was an age.
30. Okay, so he would be 68. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Still young.
Still young. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look at all the people who are touring. I hope he would be one of the ones touring at the moment. Mm. Paul McCartney. Gosh. He was touring.
He was great.
I want to see the Stones if they come back. I'm sure they will again. Hey, look. Go and have a good week, everyone. Be safe, be careful, keep the love going. Go out there this week and kick some ass. We the street people talking.